Welcome to the new chapter.
Do you ever wonder where your food comes from?
That's what got us started on this adventure.
In each episode, we ask experts to weigh in on the food topics that matter to you, from growers to producers to chefs.
And I challenge John, Darren, and you to learn more about your food and the stories behind it. From our hub on Vancouver Island in the beautiful Comox Valley, join us as we explore our edible valley.
We are back, and my gosh, we have got a lot of news for you today. And we've got a lot of guests as well. We're in a new location. I'm really excited. We've got a lot going on today. So let's first of all introduce everyone around this table. First of all, my name is William Stringer at the moment. That's my name. And yeah, I'm the producer to my left.
I am chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
I am Darren Howlett, co-host and entrepreneur restaurant. I don't know. I've got a lot of titles today. Yeah. We're going to get into them.
We've got some big news for you today. So now across the table.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good night. My name is Sean Poole. I am an entrepreneur, a restaurateur, and just an enthusiast of life.
And then over to my right. Hello.
Good morning. I'm Ronald St-Pierre. I'm a chef here in the Comox Valley for many years, but exciting news coming up. So.
And I'm Tricia St. Pierre. I've been in this, yes, with my hubby now for 15 years. And yeah, really excited for more than a new chapter. I think it's another volume.
I'd say so. So as you can tell, a lot has happened in our hiatus over the last few months. John, you're the man. You're the man to fill us in.
You want to know what happened?
Should we just jump in?
Well, apparently we have bought a restaurant.
Yeah. Boom! We just blown this story right wide open.
Yeah. Well, John and I, we've been working on this for months and months with Tricia and Ronald. And I don't know if anybody recalls, a few months ago, I stepped out of the podcast for the purpose of focusing my energies on getting this going. Which is, and bringing our new partners, Sean Poole and Aaron Kenny, into the fold. So just getting all the various parts and cogs and wheels meshed together so everybody was working for the same purpose, to the same end. And it's happened.
So we're going back a few months now. Currently it's February. I'm probably thinking September, October. All of us started to get pretty stressed. And the reason for that, I mean, I've got a baby on the way. That's my stress. These guys came to me back in October and said, just to let you know this is happening.
Yeah.
We're going to be buying a restaurant. Now, if you're not from the Valley, this is pretty much the best restaurant in town.
Yes.
I say pretty much because I have close dealings with another restaurant.
Slight bias. Understood.
And it turns out, this is the weird thing, it turns out that buying a restaurant is actually quite difficult and complicated and
stressful.
You'd
be surprised. It's not as easily as just coming to an agreement and a dollar amount. There's a lot more involved, which I think we'll probably go into in another episode down the road.
Yeah.
Advising people on how they too can buy a restaurant and have it eat up a year of your life.
In every way. So we're going to keep you and John and Darren to sort of talk a little bit about what is going on. And then we're going to bring our wonderful guests that are going to be an absolute key part in what's going on. Ronald and Trish, I guess less so as time goes because you've earned your rest. So, John, what do you reckon, mate?
Well, why don't you start where you got into here? We haven't even mentioned the restaurant. It's Locals.
It's Locals Restaurant.
Like Locals, like the centerpiece of the Valley.
People know who we are.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who we are.
Actually, Tris, why don't you tell us exactly what Locals is? Because
What do you mean, what Locals is?
Well, take us back. Why don't we start with where it came from and then where we came into the picture down 13, 14, 15 years?
So you want me to tell
you
how we started?
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. So we're in the Comox Valley.
Yeah.
What year are we in?
Oh my goodness, 15 years ago.
15 years ago.
2008.
And Ronald had fallen and ruptured his quadriceps, so I had him home for a couple of weeks. And then we just started talking about what to do, how to move forward in life. He was working elsewhere, and I decided he always worked like an owner, chef owner. So we really started to explore the idea of opening our own restaurant. And then we we're sitting in the hot tub bouncing around concepts, and it wasn't about the chef and it's not about the servers, and we realized that it really has everything to do with our local food producers. And that's where we came up with the whole concept of just really champion local food production, and that's where the name came from, Locals, food from the heart of the island, meaning food for the heart, for the producers, the chefs, the servers, from Ronald and I, and then we're physically in the heart of the island. So that's really where the name came from, the whole concept of local food production and honoring.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the focus was not only to use the local ingredient for the restaurant, but was really to close the gap between the producer and the consumer.
Right.
Okay, so because over the years, I've been in the Comox Valley for like 35 years, and the one thing at the time I did realize is that unless that the producer are sustainable in what they do and get the support of the community, they wouldn't necessarily continue producing.
Right.
So it was important that the local community get involved in knowing what are the local food resources we had at the time.
Right.
And still of today, right?
Absolutely.
The whole area seems, I've been here now since 2013 on and off, and the whole area seems like it's got an excellent food scene. As a valley, we are very contained around us. There's a lot of wilderness. So this valley really is pretty self-sustaining in many ways.
Right.
And I guess the restaurant reflected that.
Yes.
Yeah. And does,
also,
still does.
You know, with the globalization of the food industry in the 80s, it kind of went kind of almost where people forgot about shopping in their backyard.
Yeah.
And now it's obviously with the time, 40 years later, people are realizing that it's important to also shop in your backyard
much
as at the grocery store.
And then quickly, what do you think people actually get in terms of the end product from that local product?
From the local product, well, for one thing, the quality is incredible.
Yeah.
The nutrition is so much better. And also it's the sense that you're supporting each other as a community, which is extremely important.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And your local economy. And
I don't mean to jump in here. I just wanted to say, this is Sean Poole speaking, by the way. I remember I had this one light bulb moment about 5 or 6 years ago where I was taking a lemon out of a bag that I had purchased at the grocery store, and I just had the little product tag number sticker on it, and it said South Africa. And I just looked down at this little lemon in my hand, and I thought about the journey that this one little piece of fruit has been on to go all the way around the globe just to end up, and my wife's going to chop it up and squeeze it on a salad or something. And I just and I thought about the ship that had to send it here, and all the exhaust and emissions and fuel that ship took to burn to get me this lemon. And it just kind of, I actually took the sticker off and stuck it in a little hard to see spot, and I just kept it there as a reminder. So every once in a while, I would just know maybe we don't have to reach out that far to get something.
Right.
Delicious and healthy.
For instance, right now, quite often a lot of restaurants in town or around on the island will get, let's say it's lettuce, they're getting it from Mexico. So that's picked in Mexico, taken to a facility, then that's distributed to a distribution center, then that's packed on a truck, and it's brought up over across the border to go sit in another warehouse and invoiced, and then from there it comes to our restaurant or the restaurant. Or Jerry can just pick some lettuce out of his garden up at the farm that we were at a few months ago.
You're talking about the last episode, episodes.
Jerry Patterson picks some lettuce and drive it down to us 30 minutes away. Like, benefits of, you know, buying local, shopping local is huge.
Yeah.
Just not even in the nutrient, not even in the anything. It's just the getting the best possible product to work with in the kitchen.
But now we're getting away from the restaurant.
We are. Yes.
No,
but I don't know if you know this about me, but I go off on a tangent.
Yeah, he's a tangent guy. We put him in. No, that is very interesting. And John, going back a little bit, what's your perspective on?
I just love cooking the food that's around me, right? Like, it's just so much easier, and it's also so much, you know, more delicious, right?
Yeah.
And the products are just so much more amazing. Some of them are, you know, seasonal, and so there is times that you get better products, but that just makes more challenge for us to be able to take what is fresh at the time and really have fun with it, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Do you mind if I ask
a
question? So functionally, you were just telling me this yesterday. You guys decided that this is what you're going to do. You've set out, this is your plan. You're going to make this locally based restaurant. So then how did you find a location?
Well, then originally we opened on a smaller location downtown Courtney, and we were there for the first 5 years, and we actually created a good business there, but the location was not ideal.
Right.
And short after we opened, we did realize that it was not going to be a long-term proposition, that we needed to find a better location. And at the time in the Comox Valley, there was not that many great waterfront available.
Right.
There was a couple other options that we looked at. But anyhow, to make the story short, and unfortunately, and I believe in 2011, the Old House restaurant closed and this location stayed empty for over a year. And actually, I used to work it back in the 90s for 8 years in this location as the chef.
Yeah.
And I never thought I would be back in this location. But things made that we end up making an agreement with the landlord at the time, Roberts, and decided that we would relocate locals at the old house. So in 2012, we started the work of building a new kitchen, making an extension to house the new kitchen, and revamping the restaurant that needed a lot of work into regiving the place the essence that it had been created back in 1974 by Mike McLaughlin, the sense of the old house, the woodwork and all that. And so we restored the restaurant and tried to capture that essence. And I think that we actually were very successful at doing it, because even now these days, we have customer coming back and say, oh, I haven't been here for 25 years and this place has not changed anything. It's been through many transformations.
Like eight changes. But yeah, absolutely.
And also the other thing is that with us doing the work at the time 10 years ago and revamping the restaurant, we were not only able to regave the essence of it, but also to make old house, a old building, to today's standard as far as efficiency. Mm. Because for us at Locals, we were level 3 of
leaf
environmental for food service. And we actually were able to get level 3, which we were the first one here in British Columbia to achieve that.
So that's leaders in environmentally accountable food service?
Something like that.
I could only get level 1 when I was at Blue Spruce.
Wow.
So I was like, how did they do that? There's lots of things.
So, with having to renovate and reopen Locals at the old house, we were able to address that environmental sustainability aspect as well.
Wow. Right.
Okay. So going more to the present day, Darren and John enter you both into the situation. What year are we at around now?
This is about 2 years ago, I would say, when the first started talking about it.
Well, actually, the day we hired John, I told him he was going to buy this. That was 3 years ago.
3 years. Okay,
and he said, oh, I don't have the money. And I said, don't worry.
Yeah.
Nobody has money. You just have to learn how to do the job.
Yeah. I think there was a couple things. I had to do your son's wedding. Like do the food for your son's wedding. That was the one thing. And then I was going to have to buy the restaurant.
Right.
And I would have this beautiful transition where I'd be working with Tiki.
Yes.
Tiki.
He'd be able to show me the ropes and I'd get really comfortable. And then you guys went away on vacation, I believe it was.
Yeah, and COVID happened.
COVID happened, right. And then, so I came down, John, hey, I think it was John who said, hey, they're really struggling for bartenders right now. Do you mind stubbing in as a bartender once in a while? And I was like, yeah, I can probably do that. So I came down and I've known Trisha and Ronald since my childhood because I used to work in this restaurant when it was the old house. And so I came down and talked. And I came on as a bit of a relief bartender. And after about a month or so, Trisha's like, so, you guys going to buy the place?
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Wow. So yeah. Trisha,
I've been pushing it.
It's kind of like a wedding when you meet two people and you're like, you're going to get married someday.
Well, yeah.
You saw
the relationship.
For a long time, we were hoping that one of our kids would want to do this. But I think growing up in the industry, 15 years is half their lives. They've seen what it takes and they weren't interested. Neither one are passionate about cooking. But then Ronald has known Jonathan since the early 90s. It's right. like this, is, and these yeah. are all local people. And yeah. I've known Sean's wife, Erin, and her mom, and I mean, the connections are incredible. So this is like family, but better, because right. they don't bring it home at night. We'll be home without it, but we're very excited because it feels like one of our kids is buying the restaurant.
Oh, thanks. Wow. Yeah.
Talk no, about meant huge. To be.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does for me. It's the place that got me really into food in the beginning. But yeah, so then the next
Aaron.
Step was, yeah, as John and I were trying to get this going, we realized we didn't have, I mean, not to get into too much of the underbelly, but we realized we didn't have all the financing. Trish and Ronald were willing to be very creative and very generous in how to get this to happen. We thought we were satisfying a few government programs to get where we needed to be. And at the end of the day, they sort of said, no, we'll get you halfway there. So John and I, kind of dejected, frustrated, we realized whatever we had on the table was now on pause. And so we put it on pause. And then literally walking through the parking lot that like day or day after.
Excuse me. Call it serendipity. Actually, you said put pause.
Yeah.
Let's hit pause on that and go back about 10 or 11 years ago. Okay. 10 or 11 years ago, I had the privilege and pleasure of managing one of the more successful restaurants in town that William currently also has some association with. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, Chef Jonathan was the executive chef of that property, and Darren was a front of house server extraordinaire.
Oh, now the manager. It's the Atlas Cafe. It's okay. going to slip out, and yeah. we love the Atlas Cafe.
Sure. We all met working at Atlas together.
We all met yeah. working at the Atlas. I, after about a 2.5 or 3 year stint as manager, my wife and I returned back down to the South Island to Victoria to continue on, and we just had recently, about a year ago, moved back into the valley happily. We are parents now. We brought our son to grow up in the place where we grew up, because this is probably just one of the best places on earth. No offense, other places on earth. And we were quite literally, serendipity stepped in, and we were heading to a legal office to sign some papers on all the various papers that must be signed when buying a home or whatnot. And this handsome man in black, not Johnny Cash, his name is Darren Howlett. He suddenly just, we see each other in a parking lot, and he kind of gives me, hey, John and I are trying to buy this place. Yeah. And I'm like, well, look at those guys. So good for you. Good for you. And suddenly, about 6 months later, a fateful phone call yeah. kind of caught me up to speed, as in, we need a little love to make this happen. And you know, life is short. So we said, well, how much love do you need? And next thing you know, fast forward to February of 2023.
Yeah.
And here we are, all four proud owners of Locals of the Old House.
Wow.
It's
yeah,
wonderful. It was meant to be.
Yeah,
you know, another beautiful. Really funny part is Aaron's brother babysat my kids when I started teaching at the college. And then Aaron came to see me about 12 years ago when she was taking a course at the college about how to write a good business plan.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, our ties go so far back. Yeah.
Yeah. And the influence, not just ties, like the you've influenced all of us, and now here we are coming to roost. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So it's great news. And how is this going to affect the podcast? I think that's another
thing
to put in there.
I think for our listeners, actually, it puts us back on track a bit, because we now have another location with which, I think the thing with us with the podcast isn't necessarily finding a location with which to produce it. It's finding an inviting environment where it's comfortable and easy for our guests to get to. So by housing
are you,
it
are
here,
you saying my basement's a little creepy sometimes?
I'm not saying anything about your basement. I'm just saying that the dining room of the locals and the old house yeah. building and all of that, I think that is a fantastic arena for us to continue yeah. the podcast in.
I actually think that the podcast and the brand of this restaurant mm-hmm. go really well together.
Well,
they are
very
similar.
Exactly, and that's something I've been saying for a while, how on brand this is for John and I, in that we've been doing, we've been doing this podcast for 11 years or so, almost 12 years, I think, next month. And all we've done is talk to local food producers, growers, fishermen, farmers. We're talking to everybody that makes the food in the valley. And now we get to go to the place that shines a light on all the people that make the food in the valley. You know, like, it's the next step of what we were meant to do.
Yeah. No, yeah. it's like, it's kind of, it's... Yeah, sort of a little bit unreal still to me. Yeah. But I'm still
well. We're in the, yeah, and we should mention that we're just in the first few days of this, so everything's pretty heady and we're a little bit. I'm a little.
Crazy. Yeah, I was quite happy to be completely consumed with the inventory over the first couple moments because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, just count everything and make sure we know where what everything is. So that's been, you know, that's where my head is. But yeah, it's still like I'm completely honored that Trish and Ronald are passing this along to us.
Same here,
like,
absolutely.
Well, you know, for me, the biggest thing is that we did not want a chef to swoop in from some other place, want to buy the restaurant and impose themselves upon the Valley. Yeah. And this is totally fitting, local, like, staying local. It's local people buying, people well-known in the community. It's just such a natural progression.
Right, and in the beginning, in the early stages, you even said there was some outside interest from outside parties, and that was just it. You were like, well, the option is, you know, take the money and run from these outside parties or help nurture this deal along where the restaurant stays true to its vision.
Yeah. I mean, if Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares has taught us anything, it is that you need to have a solid team of local people that know what they're doing and that they know the pulse of the community.
Right.
Because then they can run with that as opposed to something that has no connection at all.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to ask the question. Is this now, I'm just going to ask the question that the audience may be thinking, is this now the locals podcast?
I don't know.
I think this is still the Edible Valley podcast.
Yeah, it's still the Edible Valley. We're not above talking to what are now, I guess, competitors. We still want to know what's going on in the Valley.
Oh, I totally
want to
sit down.
Talk shop. Yeah. So I guess if it was locals, we wouldn't be talking to, say, Sandra and Trent and what have you. But we still want to talk to those people about
Absolutely.
Everything.
You know, can I pipe in here? One of the greatest reasons that the Comox Valley is such a great place to live and work in is the restaurants don't work competitively.
Yeah.
We work collaboratively.
Right.
If somebody needs a case of whatever, what we borrow, we share. If I get a great resume and I don't have a position, I'll send it over to Sandra or over to Barb. So in COVID, we all just really got in together and how can we all ride this wave together and share our knowledge. So I never worry about competition. It's about building a bigger pie rather than competing.
Absolutely.
So this fits totally. It just that loving that keeps going on in the food industry in this valley. It just
if I can throw in a little anecdote that I think is going to lead to another episode. Our manager here, Matt, he's about to open his own establishment. He's opening something in Cumberland. He did a pop-up dinner at Ryder's a few weeks ago and he's going to do a couple more. He's using that to sort of trim out and dial it in his menu, and then he's going to open his own establishment. And he'd let the staff know that this was happening, and he said, you know, if you can stop by, that'd be great. He had a lineup. He opened at 4:30, and he had a lineup out the door at 4:35, and the entire staff was part of that lineup.
I was number 70 on the line.
I know, like 60 on that list. Most of us didn't get in there, and you know, it was just we all wanted to support him. And none of us were bitter, and we were talking about it after, and they said, oh, that's so, somebody mentioned they thought it was odd that we were there being so supportive of another restaurant starting up, and we were like, well,
that's
a rising tide raises all boats. So the more we support each other as a community of restaurants, the more people will recognize that and want to be part of that and come dine in this community of restaurants, you know, truly, Anyways, I believe that Matt and his journey and his little successes as they happen, I'm sure we'll be covering that on a future episode of the podcast.
I mean, another quick example of that is the Atlas Cafe actually had a fire a few months ago. It could have turned into a very big fire had it not been for a burst water pipe. And a bunch of local businesses got together, and the Church Street Tap House actually helped do this so we could actually go there. Put the hat out, loads of money went into it, and then we all got to meet up and have a really good Christmas party thanks to the generosity of those local businesses for us to all kind of collect ourselves and go, wow, we almost burned down. And that is just such a classic example.
Absolutely.
The generosity of businesses all across the valley to help this other business out that had some misfortune. So as you say, very rightly, a rising tide raises all boats. And this is, it's weird because they are competition and they're not competition.
Yeah.
I think in the valley, primarily everyone works together and they just to raise the size of of the pot, so to speak.
Absolutely.
I was just actually going to comment on Trisha's turn of phrase there. She said they're not competing for the limited slices, but just making a bigger pie. And then Darren swooped in and doubled down with his rising tide lifts all boats. And I just wanted to say that exactly, that's part of one of the reasons why we kind of moved back to the valley. And that's just, and the wonderful positive approach to any situation. It's about, you know, it's community and putting back into it. It's just, that didn't come out as I wished, but it's just about the positive contribution and not what you can take from it. And, you know, we're all in this together.
I think that's prevalent around here is, it's what can I add, not what can I take.
Precisely.
Yeah. So it sounds like we've got a great group of business owners that are taking over this amazing establishment in downtown Courtney or in Courtney. Is it downtown Courtney?
It's the heart of Courtney.
It's the heart of Courtney, sure. It's by the river. It's an absolutely gorgeous location.
Right.
So, well, we're excited just for the restoration across the river there.
That's going to look gorgeous.
That's one of the things I said to John really when we were early in this process. I said, where else are we going to find riverfront property that the view that we're looking at on the other side of the river is going to improve, not develop? Yeah. Like, it's just going to become more natural, not turned into other businesses to look into, you know?
So they're actually returning an area across the water in front of us to nature, which is a whole big project, and we could do a podcast on that itself. But it is going to improve the view.
We did.
Oh, okay. I was thinking really bad.
We had Ned Bell on here.
So I want to ask you three, what can we expect right away if we go, say, a month away in here in Locals?
Gutted. Everything's changed tomorrow. No.
Deep fryers.
When's the deep fryer?
Absolutely nothing. The menu isn't changed. The staff isn't changing. Nothing's changing. We don't jump into a restaurant of this caliber for this amount so you can change everything. Right? We're very happy with what it is. We're just going to, you know, polish this.
The word is we're going to grow.
I think we're going to grow.
It's adding a little extra water to a few things.
Exactly.
To watch it grow. So.
Amazing.
Well, there's more than water needed. Rinald and I have been at this for a while, and I think, you know, we're a little tired, getting long in the tooth, and it's just so much fun to come in here now and see the level of energy with you folks. Not with the intention of changing things, but how can we make it better, you know, and just all the spit and polish is really exciting, but the energy that you all bring to this, it just makes my heart happy. This is better than I ever could have imagined.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
I don't wish to talk about ninjas. My wife tells me not to talk about ninjas. But I always thought a ninja was somebody that could do everything. And then I realized why ninjas are so successful is because they each have somebody with their own strengths. Darren's the nunchuck guy. You know, John, he's pretty good with the katana blade. I'm the throwing star guy.
Are you saying we're the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Well, not necessarily, but I'm just saying, you don't want to have four people that all have the same strength, because then it'll be a one-note song. But if you have each of us that balance each other out and complement each other, it's a full, well-rounded wheel.
It was a match made in heaven, as they say.
That wheel will turn smoothly.
Yeah. You know? But all the four of us have very strong areas of expertise that we excel at, and all four of those complement each other in what we're trying to do here. And I think that I'm very excited by it, because every time you think, oh my God, I don't know how to do that, we're like, oh, wait a minute, that's in that person's wheelhouse. That's something that they excel at. They can handle that, and then I can pick up something else.
And I'm living proof of how far you can make it in life just by being enthusiastic.
I like it. I think, actually, Sean, we need to get you on the podcast quite a lot more.
Probably. Yeah, absolutely.
I've got competition for the funny guy.
So I'm curious, because Trisha and Rinald, just as we're wrapping up here, they just got back from Mexico just to come and put a bow on everything, because everything's wrapping up. We're just getting the final everything done. So what's next for you two? What do you do now?
Well, you know, our week in Mexico is our son got married. We're renovating a house. Yeah, renovating a house next door, and we're down on a beach in Mexico selling a business. Felt a little bit like a drug deal. The money's in the bank. And I didn't allow myself the opportunity to fantasize because I didn't want to count my chickens before they hatch.
I get you, absolutely.
And so, you know, we're just really concentrating right now on helping you guys as much as possible. And then we'll peel away as needed and step up as needed. But, you know, we want to move more, get out more. But I don't know. I've always had responsible positions. I'm looking forward to retirement.
Perfect.
Music.
Yeah. Wonderful.
What's that noise we can hear, John?
Oh, it's they've just put on the music because the restaurant right. is getting ready to open. You know what? So it's nice ambiance in the background.
It's a nice outro here. We've got a little music to play us out.
It's beautiful. We need to have you two walking off into the sunset. But no, you're going to stay close. Yeah. We want to have you on the podcast in future. Ronald.
So, yeah, what I'm going to add to that is, you know, like I've worked really hard all my life and long hour in many situations. And so there's a list of things that we have always said, oh, we're going to do that when we retire. Oh, we're going to do this when we retire. So it's going to be time to for us to start to, you know, relook at the list and start to plan.
Well, that's great.
Like Trish said, we haven't really had the opportunity yet to do too much planning. But it's going to be in the works. And
are you going to be a bit like mom and dad when you come into the restaurant?
But definitely, you know, people are asking, like, are you moving to Victoria? Well, we're not going anywhere. Good. This is a place to be in the Comox Valley. So, perfect. No, we're definitely not going anywhere. We're just going to be enjoying.
There's so many people we owe dinner invitations to.
Yeah.
Right.
So that, no, serious. I'm excited about Christmas Eve and
your social calendar
and just connecting more with the people in our lives without having, you know, our third child our child that never quite grows up. So anyway,
well, looking back, I'm sure the whole we've condensed, you know, since 2008 into a lot. I'm sure there were some incredibly stressful times, hashtag COVID, just to say the least. I'm sure you had some amazing times, some ups and downs, and you can really look back. It is in amazing hands. It's being loved and tended for, and you can be around for that. You can see it grow and know that you started that, and you can enjoy your rest. And that's sometimes a difficult thing to do, but enjoy it because you've earned it.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I'm very excited to have this group of young professionals that are taking over the business because they have what it takes to take it to the next level. So I'm very confident about their ability.
Thank you for
it. It feels really good.
Have you guys told up your numbers of years of experience in the industry?
No.
I've never been a big believer in that for some reason. Then just like, we have 700 years of experience. I'm like, well, that just means you have four old dudes and six apprentices. Yeah. And so I don't necessarily understand with the math on that, but that's just my point of view.
Well, it's people, so many people head into the restaurant industry with no experience, and it's the number one reason it's a failing industry. But just with this team, the knowledge base, the experience, the education.
We're probably looking at about 65 years, maybe.
John started in restaurants in his teens in the kitchen.
15 when I started at the Kingfisher Inn.
Yeah.
Jumped the fence to climb over there to wash dishes. And
grandparents owned a restaurant and my entire family worked there. So I had no option.
Wait,
did
you own a bar?
Yeah. I had no option. I grew up in a restaurant and it forever took hold of my destiny. I knew I would always be in restaurants.
I started maybe almost nearly 20 years ago now on various levels, all the way up to general manager of numerous restaurants and hotels and pubs and whatnot, and I always just took a shine to it, and I always liked being out on the floor and being trapped to a desk and looking at papers and numbers. I could do it, but it didn't. I like to be out on the action. I like to be part of the show, you know?
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. So
we haven't talked about your lovely wife either.
Oh, we need to, yeah.
Aaron, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Aaron? I'm just joking. She's not even here.
I love this guy.
No, honestly, though, my wife, we don't need to hear her story. She's just a wonderful person. She's the brains of the operation here. Let's be serious.
Absolutely.
We're just about to celebrate our 10th wedding anniversary or maybe our 18th year. She is a classically trained artist. She's a very successful and talented graphic designer. She's a marketing professional. She's had various prestigious jobs with prestigious firms and companies across British Columbia, such as BC Transit, the University of Victoria. She's currently located here in town as well. And as I mentioned, each four pieces of the pie makes the wheel turn smooth. By the way, if we do adopt the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. By the way, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are getting no money for this mention. You're going to have to fight her for Michelangelo.
All right, that's fine.
She's the cowabunga dude of the bunch.
She is the cowabunga dude.
Anyways, yes, and so as I mentioned, each of our strengths complement each other, and that's why I feel the soup won't be a little too salty. It'll have a nice umami. Umami. She's my mommy. She's my umami mommy. You know what I'm saying?
And Sean's here all week as well.
Yeah.
Try the veal. Actually, we don't serve veal.
Well, not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I have to say, like, some of the work that Aaron's been doing for us is, like, some of the best food photos. I mean, both you and Aaron were working on.
Yeah.
Some of the best
food photos.
We're about
to launch the website again, relaunch the website this week.
Yeah.
And she's been working hard at that.
So you can see her work when you look at any of the marketing, the social media. She will be brains
absolutely
behind
her
that.
Fingerprint all over it. I mean, not even fingerprint. It's all of her work.
You know, absolutely. We were just discussing at about 5:45 this morning the layout of a new photographic, you know, advertisement in a Comox Valley Tourism publication, which is coming out. In my past jobs and whatnot, putting on concerts, putting on events and whatnot, she's always been my go-to person creating the copy, the posters, the tickets, all of that. And so whenever you see her online, in a magazine and whatnot, that's her swipe of the paintbrush there for
sure. And she's like, Darren, hashtags.
And while we have an audience listening, just as my parting note, there's a misconception or a misunderstanding on some parts or a misinterpretation of things on some parts. Just to let everybody know that listening that might have a gift certificate out there or a gift card, they're all being honored.
Yeah.
You don't have to panic and rush. We had a couple of panic phone calls, and I just want to make sure that while we've got everybody's ear,
yeah,
it's all good.
And we have really beautiful new gift cards.
We do. Come on down and buy one.
So, and quickly touch on the podcast. So it is going to remain the Edible Valley Podcast.
Absolutely.
We are neutral. We want to be really a resource for other local areas of the food scene here in the Comox Valley and beyond.
We want to keep doing what we're doing with the podcast.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I'm super excited because I know we've got a whole bunch of people. We want to revisit a bunch of old guests that we've had on. I know there's a certain pizzeria in town that's hitting a 10-year mark that I'd love to chat
Jason
with.
Yeah, Jason from Gorilla. He's like, you know, you guys interviewed me 10 years ago. Do you want to talk about what I've done in the last 10 years? And we're like, that's a fantastic episode. Why don't we get you back here?
Yeah, I've taken on a couple apprentices with this e-training program. So that'll be exciting to talk to, hopefully, with them and the instructors to see how... sort of talk a little bit about the apprenticeship program in the area. And
like
so many
I say, I
other.
Think we'll get Matt on here. We got lots of great episodes coming up. We got a lot of.
I know I was talking with Richard down at the Kingfisher. He wanted to get on here. So there's lots of people to talk to.
So what happens every time we take a little break with this, it's not like our interest wanes. It's just our ability to produce an episode wanes. We still keep finding people we want to talk to.
Well, yeah, we've actually jumped back on this. It's not like all the work's done. The work is actually only going to get more. For me, 7 weeks away from the baby embarking on a few new business things now for me. And, you know, for you guys in the restaurant, the only people it's going to get somewhat easier for is to my right.
That's wonderful.
So you're going to get regular episodes because we've decided to, despite how busy we are, we need to document what amazing is going on at the moment. So we are going to be going strong for 2023. We're so excited. And Sean, honestly, mate, you don't realize it, but you just volunteered yourself onto the show for many episodes to come.
Well, I am a father of a young, high-energy child, a co-owner of a very successful restaurant, so I have nothing but time, sir.
Yes. Time-rich man.
I have more words than I do time, so I'll be happy to lend some to you.
And so, John, any final words before we...
I'm just super excited to be this new chapter opening up and just to see the volumes that we get out of it.
Well,
the book cliche.
Seeing you, all three of you, over the last few months, it is obvious how stressful this kind of thing can be because you've been your usual great selves, but also you can tell your mind has just had this weight of 1,000 buildings on it.
Yeah.
And now it starts to...
And that's just it. I mean, these first few weeks, you sort of... It's running around getting everything squared away and tickety-boo. And then everything can resume back to regular service. And that's where we're easing into right now.
And as far as you, the listener, are concerned, you're going to be along for every step of that.
Absolutely.
With some amazing guests coming up.
Yeah, well, I would just like to invite everyone to come out and check out Locals and come meet us. You know, we would love to get to know everyone that loves to dine here at the restaurant. And hopefully, if you haven't been here, to give it a try and come in and see what we have too. The building is absolutely gorgeous and it's one of my favorite places. I'm actually shocked that like, I've always looked at this restaurant as the center point of food in the Comox Valley.
Absolutely.
It's always been recognized. So to be in this position is
surreal.
Yeah. Surreal, completely yeah. surreal.
So. Yeah, it's a real moment, a real line in the sand.
You literally just took the words out of my mouth, Chef. I was just going to say, if and when you come down, and we sure hope to see you, don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
Please just take a moment to wave and say hi and call us over. We're always out and about and scooting around somewhere, but I'm the bald one. I am the baldest one.
Yeah, that's right.
No, that's accurate.
That's accurate.
And so I'm just saying, yeah, because as I mentioned, this is a community restaurant and we're proud and happy to be here. So just if I have 30 seconds to say hi, I would love to use 29 of those saying hello to you, you know, and so don't be a stranger.
Amazing.
Yes. And we look forward to seeing you here.
Okay. Well, that's about it. We will be back. John, when's the next podcast coming up?
It will be shortly right after this one. We have a couple lined up for recordings in the next couple days here. So
yeah, we'll expect it every couple of weeks. But for now, from the brand new ownership of Locals Restaurant in the heart of the Comox Valley, the heart of Vancouver Island, this is the Edible Valley Podcast. My name is William Stringer. I'm the producer. To my right, I've got... Introduce yourself again.
Trisha St. Pierre, former owner of Locals Restaurant.
And I'm Ronald St. Pierre, also former owner of Locals.
The new owners.
Darren Howlett, owner.
Restaurant owner.
My name is Sean Poole, and on behalf of my lovely and talented wife, Erin Kenny.
And I'm still Chef Jonathan Fraser, and I'm an owner of a restaurant now. So thank you so much for listening.
Take care. Cheers. And that wraps up another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and a special thanks goes to the local businesses that help support our podcast. They make it possible for us to showcase your local food community. We'd love you to follow us on your preferred social media at Edible Valley, where you can check out our blog, find recipes and tips, behind the scenes, and of course keep a lookout for where we are going to turn up next in your Edible Valley.
And this has been an Edible Valley production.
Yeah, beep, 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 beep. Shut up. Okay, ready again?